Change is afoot in the housing market. From APM, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. Stamp prices go up, but the Postal Service is still broke. And we wrap up our reporting in Miami with a look at the cruise business there. Fresh data just out today show new home sales fell in December, but overall sales for 2012 were the best in 3 years. Here to look at what this means for us is Greg McBride, senior financial analyst at Bankrate.com. Hello, Greg.
Good morning.
So let's zoom out of today's numbers and look at the big picture. How healthy is the housing market right now?
Yes, it's getting better, but we're still about 50% below what the pre-housing bubble normal levels were. So if you look at where the levels were back in 1998 or 1999, 2000, we're about half of that level right now. So still a long way to go, although the trajectory is positive, and as long as the economy continues to grow, I think we're going to continue to see progression and improvement in the housing market.
So when does the property market get to the point where its impact is going to be felt elsewhere as far as creating construction jobs, new business for appliance and furniture makers, that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, I think we're seeing some residual effects of that now. It's just that because it's coming from such a low level, it's not enough that it's going to move the needle on unemployment. I think we need a much stronger economic environment, and then it becomes a self-reinforcing positive cycle where stronger economy, more disposable income makes people more confident to go out and buy houses. If, you know, Washington doesn't run us off the rails, you know, this economy can continue to improve. But, you know, between spending cuts and debt ceiling debates and the specter of a credit rating downgrade, I mean, all of that, I think, is going to weigh on not just financial markets, but the psyche of both businesses and consumers.
Okay, Greg McBride of Bankrate.com, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up. The S&P up about a quarter percentage point. The Dow up 0.3% at 13,866. European markets closed up, though in the UK, gloomy GDP numbers raising fears of a triple-dip recession held things back. Asian markets closed mixed. Japan was the outlier. Shares there skyrocketed on a weakening yen. The Postal Service is hiking prices. Starting Sunday, the cost of a stamp goes up a penny to 46 cents. Other shipping fees rise also. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports from D.C. on what a pile of pennies is worth to an agency deep in debt.
In fiscal 2012, the Postal Service lost almost $16 billion. The price hike for all types of mail averages out to about 4%, just enough to outpace inflation, not enough to stem the losses at the post office. Karen Meehan is a Postal Service pricing manager. I ask her, given the gaping budget hole, isn't the price rise just a drop in the bucket?
It won't close the gap, but every drop helps.
Rick Geddes is a Cornell economist. He studied the Postal Service since the mid-90s. He says the higher rates will help, but the Postal Service has to be careful. If it raises prices too much, it'll lose customers.
People will think instead of sending a holiday or greeting card, they might send an e-card if the price of a stamp goes up.
Geddes says the Postal Service is already losing the battle with online convenience. He says first-class mail volume has dropped by about a third since 2001. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
This week, Marketplace Morning Report host Jeremy Hobson is reporting from Miami, exploring the changing lives of the middle class, rich, and poor. Miami is a major port for cruises, once a luxury for the rich. Cruise ships are bigger than ever and now offer packages accessible to the middle class. Royal Caribbean International President Adam Goldstein tells Jeremy demand is growing.
In 1970, only 500,000 people took a cruise. Now 20 million people are taking a cruise. So it's definitely become more accessible.
Jeremy went to the port to see the ships and meet the passengers.
Well, millions of people do not come to Miami by plane as we did. They get off of a cruise ship and they come here to the Port of Miami, the cruise ship terminal. 4.3 million people a year, one in seven of the world's cruise ship passengers come through this port. I'm standing in the shadow of one of these enormous ships. And we came here to ask some people about what it is about this modern American luxury that they find so appealing.
The food. No.
Let me just get your name if I could.
My name's Stephanie Ashenden.
So what's your favorite part about going on a cruise?
Just being at sea and, you know, the free will of doing whatever you want, whenever you want.
Is it something that you have to save up for a long time to do?
For about a year.
So it's expensive.
Yes.
I'm Jeannie Nelson.
And where are you headed on your cruise?
Oh, St. Thomas and wherever my husband picked. I have no idea. He does it, I go. I go for the show.
So what do you like about it? Why do you keep going on cruises?
It's peaceful, it's relaxing, and your kids can't get a hold of you. And it's
kids
wonderful.
Can't get a hold of you?
No, it's great.
So tell me your name.
My name is Anne Moncrief. I'm from New York.
What do you like about a cruise? Why did you decide to do a cruise?
It's more economical. That's the best part about it. And the food is good, and the fun on shore is on board is nice, good.
So how often can you do something like that?
I would love to be able to do it at least once a year, if it's possible. If you save away and put away for you, it would be possible for you to do that.
But do you consider it a luxury?
I don't even think it's a luxury. I think it's something that we should treat ourselves to. A little relaxation, somebody making our bed, somebody preparing our food.
What do you do back in New York?
I work as a direct care aide, take care of elderly people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't mind taking care of me for a change.
You can find more of Jeremy's reporting from Miami on the New American Dream at marketplace.org. And finally, the internet is essential to living. A court says so. A German court made the ruling in the case of a man whose internet connection was down for 2 months. German law says people must be compensated for the loss of what is essential to living. The court ruling says internet access qualifies. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.